Are there any other differences other than those two? The exemption and the lease.
Well, we wanted to be clear in the legislation that those operations such as Lukoil and Sunoco, for instance, that would have what is known as a commissioned agent, where there's not a franchise dealer, there's somebody in there operating the location, but he's only paid a commission. Those sites obviously wouldn't come under any kind of legislation that is here. This is only for those dealers, franchise dealers, that are lessee dealers and pay dealer tank wagon, and their supplier owns or controls more than 75 sites. The smaller distributors, because there's 10 or 15 distributors that will sell Exxon. Mm-hmm. There are 10 or 15 distributors that will sell Sunoco or any other brand that you would like. But there are also some pretty large distributors that sell those brands, and they happen to own a lot of sites and have lessee dealers because they made big purchases from the oil companies years ago and purchased in big blocks. That is the reason we did write a first refusal, because that was about to happen with both Exxon and Shell, and we protected those dealers.
Senator Kane?
Then just one question before Senator Cardinale gets to it. But why 75? I mean, if you're talking about a market control, market penetration, ability to move, 75 seems like a huge number compared to what, I mean, that wouldn't that give force in market? Excuse me, force in marketplace from a purchasing power, you know, power parity and everything else?
Senator Kane, through the chair. Mm-hmm. We arrived at that exemption because the smaller distributors that are not offenders, if that number were 15, the smaller distributors wouldn't be affected. However, what we thought is some of those smaller distributors, as a matter of survival in their own right, may merge with each other, may purchase each other. And we wanted to give a significant amount of growth to them as small business people over time. It is once that a distributor seems to get into that mega distributor category where they own 75 or more locations that they tend to be a problem. My prediction, however, is this. By the time any of those distributors are ever grown to that level, that there will be fewer lessee dealers and more dealers over the years will be given the opportunity through various reasons to actually control their property, and then they will negotiate with all the different suppliers in a more competitive situation.
Senator Cardinale?
I'd like to clarify first that the 75 is not 75 in New Jersey.
It's right.
It's 75 nationwide.
As was the exemption and right of first refusal.
So that
the number is greater.
The number may be within New Jersey much smaller. The second point is a great deal was made about Wawa's and Costco and all these other places. In your experience with the people that you represent, are those the places where zone pricing is prevalent, or is zone pricing prevalent in a lot of places that have nothing to do with Wawa and Costco and all of these other places?
Senator, I'm in this business for 30 years, and I have never been able to figure out the rationale behind where they zone, what they zone. I can tell you, though, because I am very familiar with the process that Lukoil uses right now when they determine there is an aggressive competitor. They use the TCVA, and they literally on each delivery will go to the dealer and say, if you go to this price that meets that competitively, then we will send back, we will rebate back these cents per gallon to allow them to compete. But the price, the invoice price that was delivered should still be the same as everybody else. And then in those competitive situations, if they need to pick out and help that dealer, there's nothing in this bill that prevents them from doing that.
As I've been talking to all of the different folks who are involved with the issue, some folks look at zone pricing as a way of lowering the price to a particular number of dealers. But as I have heard you speak, it is a way of raising the price in some portions of the state. From the perspective of the dealers that you represent, are more people getting a lower price or are more people getting a higher price as a result of the practice of zone pricing?
I'm going to say it's relatively evenly divided for those dealers that have responded to surveys from us. Over the past 3 or 4 years, we've had a number of dealers participate in surveys and then drop out and then participate again. Again, it is difficult to see the rationale of who and how many, and we've seen it change as well. You know, we've seen some dealers that, you know, at one point had a 30 cent variation from the lowest dealer tank wagon to, you know, go to a 10 cent spread, and then we've seen it come back up and then come back down. We have no idea what the rationale is whatsoever, other than as a whole, the company makes a decision as to what their price is going to be, and they know where they can get more margin than in one location than in another, and they do, and then the dealer is forced to pay that, and the customer is then forced to pay that difference.
In my anecdotal experience, and just buying gas as a consumer, it seems to me that you're even more likely to get a high price in an urban area than you are in some other parts of the state. We heard from the other side of the issue that the prices are lower in urban areas because of zone pricing. Is my observation incorrect, or?
I'm not sure I understood the question, but let me respond this way. We believe that there is no correlation between the fact that there's an urban area and a lower price. In fact, and I know it does not apply right now, but it's the only study that I did have, and it's accurate, and I still have this information. Because a few years ago, the biggest offender on the face of the earth was Exxon. They are no longer an offender because they divested their properties and the dealers purchased through distributors. And they get to make their choice of who supplies them. However, prior to divestment, this was because I was interviewed by ABC News on this, Exxon was making the case to Tabby Phillips of ABC News that the urban areas would then have to have, because they subsidize them now, they would have to raise them up. We had a location in Elizabeth, New Jersey, that was 2 miles away from the refinery, paying 10 cents a gallon more from Exxon than a station in the well-to-do shore community of Long Branch along the high-rise ocean fronts that was 45 miles away from the refinery. So we took away the whole argument of both transportation distance and urban and affluent. We flushed it right there. I don't know where that stands right now with the two companies that stood before you today. I don't have that kind of analysis. However, we were able to pass that information on to at the time to ABC News.
Well, it was interesting to me over the last couple of weeks that only two major suppliers called me to talk about this bill. So I didn't get any calls from Exxon. I didn't get any calls from Shell. I didn't get any call from all of the other big ones. Are they using zone pricing today, or is that gone from their armamentarium?
They do not supply the dealers directly. All of the dealers, Exxon and Shell dealers, are supplied through a distributor. Many of them, the small distributors that are not offenders that we've exempted from this bill with that 75 number. There are some of what we call the mega distributors that are distributors for both Exxon and Shell who are offenders and would be covered under this bill. So Exxon and Shell, they don't care if this becomes law or not. Their distributors might, but they're larger distributors, not their smaller ones.